We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's 10 o'clock. Ha! Time for a midday party with Rick and John.
Hey, we want
some. Oi, 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 oi.
Rick Kambla.
How's your hip swivel?
And John Michaels. Get you through the work week with a sports insight you can't find anywhere else. Two serious and focused broadcasters who can't. I almost got through that. They may act like children, but their passion for the game is above anything else.
I keep it real.
Buckle up, Atlanta. This is Rick and John, and the party starts now.
You, Atlanta, you were a big winner last night. You moved up from 4-3, and now it's all about Marvin Bagley or Luka Doncic. And we are Rick and John, and we're going to be talking about it with you today, of course, and over the next about 5 weeks in advance of the NBA draft. But the show was the show leading up to it, but it was worth the wait, John. We got the number 3 pick. We were slotted at 4. We move up into the third spot. Shout out to Jamie Gertz. She is the wife of our owner, Tony Ressler. She was the representative, and she certainly brought us good luck, John, because you and I were sort of pessimistic yesterday, thinking maybe 5, like, let's just hang in there and get a top 5 pick. We were one of the lottery winners, yep, scooting up from 4-3, and I'm super happy about it.
Sacramento, the biggest winner of all of them, is they jumped to number 2, and when, you know, you see something like that happen, you're going, oh boy, we're going to be 4, we're going to be 5. But not that case. The Hawks actually go to number 3. The Mavericks were the big losers as they fall down to number
Memphis 5. Memphis, too.
Yeah, Memphis as well. But Mavericks, they were really hurt. I don't think the Mavericks have ever moved up in the draft lottery in any of the time that they've been there. So the conspiracy theorist in me says, you know, Mark Cuban, a guy that kind of needles the commissioner, and his maybe colored outside the lines a couple of times, and, well, we're not going to help you out at all.
I legitimately can't believe Cassidy Hubarth asked Adam Silver a question in which he actually used the word tanking. I just can't believe it. And I like her. I respect her. I've met her. Very, very nice woman. I usually have nothing but good things to say. I like her coverage of college football on Saturdays in the fall. Mark Cuban got fined $600,000 for saying tanking. If Mark Cuban had used the word rebuilding or bottoming out, he would not have been fined. I just couldn't believe the lack of awareness that she actually said the T word in front of Adam.
We've got a lot of stuff we're going to get into today. A lot of Hawks conversation with Dennis Schroeder in the news yesterday, and we brought some of this up. We're going to talk about, are there guys at the top of this draft that absolutely can transform this team from, you know, a bottom feeder to a team that now all of a sudden has a certified superstar to go along with John Collins and Torian Prince and guys like that. We're also going to get into around the 404. Is the Braves got absolutely jobbed yesterday by the umpires and the replay. It's one thing for a live call to go bad on the field. When you go to slow motion and it's clear as day that your runner is safe at home, and the idiots in Secaucus or wherever they are can't vision that, hey, his hand hit and the tag never was applied. We'll get into some of that. We've also got a fun slice of life talking about bad parents at U Sports. Cause I don't want to say they were bad parents. I just ran into parents who last night seemed like they were trying to try out for, I don't know, the G League or something with 9-year-old basketball. And it was pretty funny. So we'll get into that later on during the slice of life.
So John was saying he got a little bit of the J.R. Smith on Al Horford treatment at the situation last night. Can I brighten your day a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
We love kicking stuff around. We love spending the money of owners.
Yes.
And we love playing GM.
Okay.
We're going to play GM at 11 o'clock with Dennis Schroeder. And John, I have done my research. I have 10 possible trade destinations for Dennis Schroeder.
Okay.
And, you know, you're all saying, oh, trade Dennis Schroeder. I can't guarantee it. I don't make guarantees. I promise you he will not be a Hawk next year. He gone, y'all. He gone. And so I've got 10 possible trade destinations. One of them will really make John happy.
Okay.
It is the San Antonio Spurs.
What does that have to do with?
Possess a guy you kind of sort of want.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I do. Kawhi
Who's
Leonard.
Got a messy situation in San Antonio. So
yeah.
Kemba in Charlotte, I have perceived as a target. We'll talk about it all at 11 o'clock.
I was waiting for the name to drop, and you didn't say
what
the
do you mean?
Name. Hassan Whiteside.
I assess the Heat roster. I don't think they'll be in the market for Dennis Schroeder.
You trade Goran Dragic as well. Get him out of there.
So
I'm making moves.
So I can't wait to drop that on you. Orlando, tons of teams that we can possibly make a trade with Dennis Schroeder. Do you agree with me that he gone?
Yes.
He gone.
He's out of here.
I'm telling you, he's gone. It's a divorce that needs to happen. And when you hear the awkward response from Travis Schlenk when asked a great question by John Fricke this morning, you'll be like, oh, yeah, he gone.
Also got something really cool coming up at 1:20 today. Chris Payne, he's a 21-year-old from Hall County, a Special Olympics guest. These are always really cool. We've had the pleasure the last couple of years of having different Special Olympics guests come in here. They're always great stories. They're great kids. We'll have him in here at 1:20. We'll talk to him. Jason Longshore at 1 o'clock. As Rick and I are getting ready to go on a double date.
Here we go.
On Sunday evening. We're going to watch a little soccer with the wives.
We're going to ball out. We got logistics to figure out. Like, are we driving or are we Ubering and just getting smashed? Like, we got to figure some stuff like that
out. I'm going to drive because we have kids and I'm not going to get smashed.
Okay, can I get smashed?
You can. That's nice. On you. Just don't puke in my car. Because I'll be like Uber. I'm charging the $400 cleanup fee.
We actually have a doubleheader. John and I will be making an appearance at the Braves game Sunday afternoon and then going to the United game on Sunday. And you say, Cam, I thought you didn't go to games. I've changed that rule. Uh-huh. All right. I've changed that rule. I'm getting to these United games. I'm going to get to a bunch of Braves games.
Preacher man, I don't see Mark Owens behind the glass again. Wasn't he just off on Friday? The hell happened?
Yeah, he was.
He gets another day off?
You know, that man's got more days off than anybody I know that works for his company.
I understand that they've changed the logistics as far as sick days and everything goes here. As a former host that worked here, vacation is a right, not a privilege. Mark Owens is living by that creed.
Hey, use it or lose it. You know what they say?
Yeah, it's true.
He's got the stroke.
If the guys in the corner offices give him the day off, then who am I to argue? If he knows how to work the system, more power to him.
Now, I have not had a chance to say congratulations to dad-to-be Jaheim.
Whoa.
Yeah, pops-to-be.
What?
Yeah. You did the reveal, about 2 weeks ago on social media. I don't want to do the social media congratulations. So congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
How much longer do you have to wait?
October 1st.
Okay. Start getting your sleep now because you're going to need it.
Bro, congrats, man. It's been a while since we worked with Jaheim because, see, I seem to remember like 2 days ago we were working and you were out shooting your shot. And now we're talking about a baby's on the way.
Yeah, guess what?
What in the H has happened?
He shot his shot. That's what happened. Preacher
any,
man.
Any comment?
That's what's up.
It is.
What the f*** is going on?
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
The third pick in this year's draft goes to the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, and you got the Atlanta Hawks.
Let's go.
We are all excited. I know we had the draft lottery watch party at Stats last night. Looked like it was a lot of fun. I'll be honest, I was on my way to basketball. I have Twitter. I didn't need to sit and watch the reveal. I could figure it out. Cool, Hawks get the third pick. You're going to get one of the premier choices, okay? Ayton's going to be off the board. We all know that. So you're going to get your choice most likely of Doncic, Bagley, Jackson, Sexton, you know, go down the list of all the guys, but you're going to get one of those guys at number three.
Well, Travis Schlenk told the morning show that he's got a list of eight guys. And then they asked him again this morning, well, since you're third, you kind of pare down that list a little more. He said it's still eight, but he did agree that it was going to sort of condense and clarify a little bit. I think there is a clear-cut top three in this draft. I think it is Luka Doncic, Marvin Bagley, and DeAndre Ayton. And then you draw a line, and now you start debating the Porters, the Jacksons, the Sextons, the Bambas, and guys like that. But I think there's a clear tiering to this draft, and we are in the top tier. And that's why I'm so excited right now. If we're five, I'm like, all right, we're five. We move back a spot. I'm not feeling that good about it. Right. I mean, it's still top five. We are top three right now. And again, when we start going into these Dennis Schroeder trade possibilities with a lot of these teams, you know, Orlando's a potential trade partner with us. They go sixth. Cleveland, they go eighth. New York, they go ninth. Phoenix, right? I want to describe a scenario where we may be able to swing a deal with Phoenix for the number one overall pick. Travis Schlenk is in an unbelievably cool position right now, John, with salary cap space, with all of this draft pick equity this year and next year. And you've got a guy in Dennis Schroeder who I believe there will be a rich market for who needs to go. So he's got a lot to bargain with.
Let's try to give away $1,000 right now in our national signing bonus.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Oh, yes, pizza. Pizza is the code word. P-I-Z-Z-A, 72881. Pizza. What's your favorite pizza in Atlanta?
Well, my favorite catcher of all time is Mike Pizza. I thought he was great.
He was. 68th round pick, something like that.
Favorite pizza is Nancy's Pizza, yes, with the sauce on top, uh-huh, and I'll go a little sausage and pep.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I can go for Nancy's pretty much any day. Not really in the diet right now, but you can have a cheat day, Preacher Man, every now and then, and slide a Nancy's slice up here, and I'll be good with it. All the meats. I like the whole meat thing.
Me too.
Jammed with meat,
ham,
cheese,
bacon,
all,
yeah,
yep, all of that. But text pizza right now to 72881. Pizza again to 72881. Of course, the juveniles behind the glass are all sitting and laughing. Let's move on in what's up. What's not up is what happened to the Atlanta Braves last night. They lose 3-2 to the Chicago Cubs. They had a 2-1 lead. Ronald Acuna hits a moonshot to center field. But the problem is the Braves have two guys thrown out at the plate. One of them should have been overturned. Clear as day. I think it was Ender Inciarte. Safe at the plate. They go to replay. Braves get screwed. Arodis Vizcaino blows. Camargo. Not Ender Inciarte. Camargo. But Vizcaino comes in the ninth, blows it. They end up losing 3-2. But you go back to that point where Camargo on a pass ball has a chance to score and actually does score. Ridiculous that replay misses that.
Yeah, it didn't go our way last night. The umps had a tough night, and in terms of the play at third with Culberson, he was obviously safe. And Snicker out of challenges, and should they expand the amount of challenges you have? I have always said that. But we officially have a murky closer situation in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And Jahi, let's play the cut from Brian Snicker, kind of opening up a Pandora's box, so to speak, on the closer scenario here in Atlanta.
It just depends on who's rested more. I feel good. You know, if we wanted to try to keep them all somewhat healthy and fresh, I mean, Winkler could probably fit right in that role too. But, you know, we have a few options.
I don't like that at all. I want to know who my closer is. When you say depending on who's rested, there needs to be a ninth inning guy. And then if your guy's gone three or four nights in a row, okay, then you do it by committee. There needs to be somebody defined in that role. And Vizcaino has been defined in that role. Is it Winkler? Is it Minter? Gohara looked really good yesterday. I don't think you want to change him to a closer as of yet. But you've got options. You just got to figure out who the dude is.
Well, I agree with you. That's really a wishy-washy soundbite by our manager, who's done a brilliant job with this team this year, with a couple of exceptions. Brandon McCarthy's overusage on Friday night coming immediately to mind. We're talking about a guy in Vizcaino, gave up two earned last night, gave up an earned run in the previous appearance. In the previous eight appearances, he gave up one earned run. Okay, so are we going to freak out and change our entire bullpen because our closer had back-to-back rough games? You know, at Miami, you give up the dinger to Boer,
right,
and then last night gave up three hits. I mean, so he's in a little bit of a slump. We hung in there with Acuna, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And didn't he please us with a home run to take the lead in the game? So I'm just saying, I pump the brakes on blowing off the lid on the closer situation. It's too early.
Well, the Cavs might be blowing off the season here really soon. Jeff Van Gundy was murdering them last night, saying, I've never seen a team with more eye rolls and shoulder shrugs as the game goes along. Celtics go up 2-0, 107-94. J.R. Smith, you're a dirty, disgusting player. He shoves Al Horford in the middle of the back late in the game. And I'm going to tell you, Tristan Thompson saved him from catching a two-piece from Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart came over there with bad intentions.
He did. J.R. Smith proved if you can't beat them,
push them,
shove them while they're in the air and possibly injure them. It was absolutely ridiculous. I fear that it's going to be 2-0 tonight, and I fear that this conference final round is going to be as mundane as the second round.
Very well could be, and don't forget tonight it'll be Warriors at Rockets game two there. Take a break. We come back. Are there any true franchise changers in this upcoming draft? We'll talk about the Hawks at 3. We'll get your opinions as well next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and watch 92.9thegame.com.
This is the Midday Show with Rick and John on the home of the Hawks. And we've got basketball conversation for you because the draft is now imminent. The lottery is over, and our Hawks have snagged the number 3 overall pick. Now, based on tiebreakers and ping pong balls and percentages, we were slotted at number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we moved up a spot. And only 3 teams win the lottery, okay? There are 14 slots.
Yep.
And of those 14 slots, only 3 win and get into the top 3. The other teams are all slotted based on inverse order of record. So our Hawks were winners last night, believe it or not. We didn't get the number 1 pick,
mm-hmm,
but I don't think a lot of people in Atlanta really had a lot of confidence in that, but we moved up. And John, we, as I've said, are going, I think we are promised an all-star. I think Doncic or Bagley are going to be all-stars. And to your question, are there any true franchise changers in this draft? I think there is one true franchise changer. I think, John, there are other potential franchise changers. But I can tell you right now that DeAndre Ayton is a true franchise changer. And for those, well, I heard the other day, why Ayton? You know, he's a traditional big man and a back to the basket guy. And that's not a fit with the current NBA. I disagree with that. He has way more versatility to his game. He can step out and hit jumpers, not at a great rate, but at a good enough rate. He reminds me of Joel Embiid, John. He is a new school big, and I think he is the true franchise changer in this draft.
I here's what I'll say, and this is a real wishy-washy answer. I'm going to say no as of right now. I don't know that any of these guys are true franchise changers. Like, you knew in, was it 97, Tim Duncan was going to make the San Antonio Spurs, especially getting David Robinson back, a great team. And Boston did everything with Rick Pitino to try to go get Tim Duncan, and they lost the lottery, and it kind of changed their franchise for a while. You knew in 2003, LeBron was a franchise changer. You knew Carmelo was a franchise changer. You didn't know that Bosch and D-Wade were going to be as great as they were, but you knew those guys had all-star potential, and you thought, why can't I think of his name? Darko Milicic was going to be really good as well. He ended up being hot baloney.
Andrea Bargnani, remember, he was the number one overall pick.
See, and I never thought he was franchise changer.
Oh, me either. That was a weak draft pick.
It was horrible. And Anthony Bennett was a horrible draft pick and probably never should have been picked number one. I think there's potential guys to be franchise changers. I do think Ayton's a potential guy. I think Marvin Bagley, if he can work on his jumper a little more, can potentially be that guy. I think one of the two point guards has the potential to be a franchise changer. I just don't know which one in which set. Nobody knew a year ago Donovan Mitchell was going to be potentially the best player to come out of the draft. That's why he went late in the lottery to Utah. Had everybody known a guy that averaged 14 points a game at Louisville his last year was going to be a star, he would have gone in the top five. I think there's potential there to get the guy. You've just got to get the guy in the right set. And I think the good thing for the Hawks is a guy's going to walk in and not have pressure. He doesn't have to average 25 points a game as a rookie. He needs to come in and be part of a system and part of a rebuild.
So, Hawks fans, we're talking about, and we are Hawks fans as well, obviously, here on the home of the Hawks Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. I've got a couple of polls up on my personal Twitter account, and I want to read a couple of these to you. First of all, just in terms of, do you feel like a winner today? Because there are a lot of, like, hardcore Atlanta fans that it's all or nothing.
Right.
Like, it's either win the Super Bowl or we suck, or, you know, we either got the number one pick or, you know, we didn't win or we're losers. And, you know, it's sort of the Ricky Bobby. If you ain't first, you're last, you know, that kind of thing. Well, that's true, but I feel like a winner today. And look at that. 89% of Hawks fans on my personal poll here say that they feel like a winner today. Only 11% feel like a loser. So, amen. I'm glad that Atlanta is feeling good about this, because I'm super excited about getting the third overall pick in a top-heavy draft. Again, I've told you I think there's three players, draw a line, and then it's the second tier.
Here's what's interesting with that, and I do feel like a winner in this, because once the regular season was over, you knew what your lot in life was. It was either going to be move up or go down as far as seven. Had the Hawks fallen below four and they were five, six, or seven, I would have felt like they lost this whole entire lottery process, and this season would have been a waste. Had you moved up like you did, you have to feel like a winner. Okay, you're not going to get DeAndre Ayton. You kind of knew that when you won some games down the stretch that you weren't going to get the number one pick. Would I have liked to have been number two and say, okay, Ayton's out, but we have everybody else in front of us? Sure, you would love to have that. But even at number three, Sacramento for how many years has botched draft picks? Seemingly forever. Now, you would think with them having an international owner, they might go the international route, and that's going to give them Luka Doncic, which is pretty much every projection I've seen now, is Doncic go second, Ayton go number one. If you would have told Hawks fans in January, you will get Marvin Bagley, Hawks fans would have been ecstatic to go get a guy that averaged 21 and 11 at Duke.
No question about it. And that's what this draft and this winning the lottery is signing us up for, is to get, in my opinion, a promised all-star. I think Doncic and Bagley project that way. Now, in terms of what John was talking about, Vivek Ranadive is the owner of the Sacramento Kings. he employs Vlade Divac and Peja Stojakovic as GM and assistant GM. Obviously, European guys. I think they're going to take Luka Doncic. I think Marvin Bagley is going to be an Atlanta Hawk. So I put a poll out to Kings fans asking them, who will Vlade and Peja draft at number two? 79% of Kings fans are saying Luka Doncic. 21% of them are saying Marvin Bagley. And in terms of Hawks fans, I have asked them, John, would you rather have, who would you rather have at number three? Bagley or Doncic? It is virtually a coin flip. 52% say Bagley, 48% say Doncic. I'm telling you right now, I don't think it's a great debate at the top. I think it's DeAndre Ayton. I think he is the absolute bona fide number one pick. I think it is a great debate at number two for Sac. Sacramento's power forwards right now are Scalabissé, Harry Giles, who didn't play last year because they were worried about him getting hurt, and Nigel Hayes. At center, they have Zach Randolph on his last legs, Kosta Koufos, and Willie Cauley-Stein. So there is a chance, there is a need for a power forward there in Sacramento, but nevertheless, I think they're going to go Doncic.
Well, and if Doncic is a small forward and he projects as a two-guard or a small forward, listen to the guards and small forwards on Sacramento. Shumpert, yuck. Bogdanović, good player, but you know he's not a star. Garrett Temple, who is a cast-off from a couple of teams. Buddy Hield, who hasn't really lived up to the production you thought. Justin Jackson, a kid out of North Carolina. And then some roster filler down at the bottom. You think they literally could take either one of those guys and be very happy, because outside of De'Aaron Fox, what do they really have that's a known?
In terms of, and this is, I don't want to go too in-depth on Sacramento, they essentially split up the two-guard position last year between Hield and Bogdanović. To me, those are two of their best players. They have to play those guys more at one of those guys more at the small forward position. Justin Jackson, you remember him, helped North Carolina win a championship. He was a mid-first-round pick to Sacramento, so he's a part of the future plan, but I wouldn't see that standing in the way of them taking Doncic and putting him at small forward. So so it's interesting, but it all hinges on what Sacramento does, and I really believe that they're going to take Doncic. I believe that Bagley will be a Hawk.
Let me ask you this. As a Hawk fan, and just pull this one back, take Sac out of the equation. You have your choice, Luka Doncic or Marvin Bagley. Who are you putting with the Hawks the way that they're currently constructed?
I'm going Bagley for a variety of reasons. And I got to be honest with you, John. I know this town wants Marvin Bagley more than Luka Doncic. I know that.
Absolutely.
We've heard that. So that's a big part of the reason. I want Atlanta, my city, my beloved city, to be happy about what we are doing. I do not want our Hawks to take a guy this town doesn't want, because I don't want to hear the complaints. I just don't. And it's not about me. It's I want you guys to be happy. And I know that if we take Doncic over Bagley, you're not going to be happy. And you're going to complain. And I don't want you to have to feel that way and do that. So I want us to take Marvin Bagley. Now, in terms of the player, I think Marvin Bagley is a better combination of safe and upside than Doncic. I think Doncic gives as much, if not more, upside, but he's not as safe.
Right.
He's a European guy.
Right.
We don't know for sure it will translate. It probably will, but we don't know for sure.
As I say, for every Dirk Nowitzki, there's a Nicholas Skidasvili. I mean, that's what you get with the European guys. You don't, and not that anybody's safe coming out of college. You've seen college stars get there and not play well. But I go to your point. I do think Marvin Bagley would be way more excitable for the fan base here as a Hawk fan. And I know there's a lot of people say, well, it becomes repetitive with him and John Collins. If you have good players, you find a way to make it work.
You do, John. That's a great point. And 4 or 5, that's power forward and center in the NBA, is so interchangeable these days. It kind of sort of doesn't matter.
And go to what Lloyd Pierce told us the other day about John Collins and getting more comfortable shooting threes.
Yep.
That's something power forwards in this league have to do. Are they visioning, all right, we're going to have Marvin Bagley as a bouncy five, and John will be able to step out a little further and hit jump shots? That's all part of the equation. We take a break. We come back. We will read between the lines with Jahi.
Yes, so Travis Schlink was on with the morning show today, and he had some interesting things to say about Dennis Schroeder, as well as talking about the criteria, and also have some stuff from Brian Snicker.
We will do that. Plus, we will find out, do you hear Laurel or Yanny? You probably have no idea what I'm talking about. You'll find out next, Rick, on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Wait, what?
What was that?
Let me see you, Brown.
Did you hear that?
Well, that's just wrong.
What the hell?
MO brings in noise you may have missed or need to hear again with Read Between the Lines with Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, I know Big Voice Guy, but the president of the Midday Show with Rick and John, Mr. Glass Half Full, Mr. 3-Day Weekend, has the most stroke out of all of us here, and he has another day off. Yeah. I presume Mark Owens, whose whereabouts are unknown, I presume he will be back tomorrow. Am I right about that?
Sure.
Should we get out the magic eight ball and see what the signs point to for Mark Owens? Preacher Man shaking it as we speak.
Shake it up, baby.
What's it say?
Signs point to yes.
Okay. Signs point to yes, too. Mark Owens coming back as John slides on his mic guard.
Yeah, my mic guard is there. I was wondering what I was missing today. I was way too close to the steel that is the microphone.
My microphone is naked. I have to change that.
It is. Let's read between the lines with Jahi.
So, Travis Schlink was on with the morning show, our Hawks GM. And one of the things that he was asked about Dennis Schroeder being here by John. And let's hear John's question and Travis Schlink's reply.
Travis, Dennis Schroeder made some news in a news conference in Germany day before yesterday that has popped now on Facebook. He said, among other things, that he wants to, and I'll just quote him, I'm in my prime, I want to compete. I cannot be second to last in the Eastern Conference. When asked about other teams, he said Indiana wouldn't be too bad, Milwaukee wouldn't be too bad. He did say Atlanta's my city, I was drafted here, but I have to look individually at what's best for me. Are we to be taking that Dennis Schroeder isn't happy?
I haven't had the opportunity to talk to him yet, so I'd rather not comment on it. But, I guess I'll just stop there and say no comment until I have a chance to talk to him directly.
Awkward.
Mm-hmm. You think?
Awkward. So, John and I at the top of the show told you, Schroeder gone.
Yeah,
he is gone, ladies and gentlemen. And so, it's an asset, another asset that we have to play with. But when you hear that right there, there is trouble in paradise. Travis Schlenk unhappy. That's my reading between the lines. That Schlenk is unhappy with Dennis saying that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. When you come out and say, I haven't had a chance to talk to him, but I'll just give no comment right now, that's your processing through your brain how you can answer this as politically correct as you can. And there is no way to answer it politically correct, so you just go, yeah, I'm good. I'm not going to say anything. I'll tap out.
There's another thing going on here. Travis Schlenk has been a front office type. He's been a developmental guy. He's been an assistant general manager. Now he's the general manager. He's in year two on the job, just barely into year two on the job. You learn lessons as an executive in any sport. And Travis stopped himself dead in his tracks because he did not want to make a mistake and say the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. So bravo to you, Travis. It wasn't it was abrupt. But the bottom line is he didn't say anything that that is going to get him in trouble or make the situation even weirder. So Travis Schlenk doing a good job here with the spoken word.
And to go back to Travis Schlenk, he was also asked about the criteria on which he wanted to draft the player at the third pick. And here's what he said.
Now we have to really hone in on the individual, figuring out what kind of person they are, what their end game is, you know, what their basketball IQ is. All those things are going to go into it.
And those are all things that they'll go whittle down from 8 down to 3 or to 4 to try to figure out who may be there and who they're going to have to pick from. I think, Ayton's probably a guy. Do you even need to work him out? Yeah, I know you do. You have to do your due diligence. But unless you're making a trade with Phoenix to go to number 1, you're not getting the guy.
They might make a trade with Phoenix to go to number 1.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, in exactly 15 minutes, John and I are going to come back and talk in a little greater detail about that. And I've got 10 possible trade destinations for Dennis Schroeder. So here's the thing. We've identified a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a problem.
Yep.
Dennis Schroeder doesn't want to be here, and we got to move him. Okay, but we, on the Midday Show with Rick and John, provide solutions. Some of those solutions coming up at the top of the hour.
All right, so now the Braves played last night, and Brian Snicker was asked about the closer moving forward and how and will things may change or not. So let's hear him.
Just depends on who's rested more. I feel good. If we wanted to try to keep them all somewhat healthy and fresh, I mean, Winkler could probably fit right in that role too. But, we have a few options.
And it's a scenario where he's not happy. His closer obviously blows a save last night. But I'm with you, Rick. Vizcaino's my guy. Winkler, Minter, you know, these guys have done a really good job setting up to get to the ninth inning. It's going to happen. Guess what? Kimbrel's blown saves. Mariano Rivera blew saves. Goose Gossage blew saves. It's the nature of getting those last three outs in a game. Guys will blow it from time to time.
They do. And in terms of Aroldis Vizcaino, he has had in the last 10 games five saves and one blown save. His ERA has gone up from 169 to 275. But so it's trending in the wrong direction. But let me give you a stat here. Aroldis Vizcaino has given up six earned runs all year in 19.2 innings.
That is
a 275 ERA. Okay, again, six earned runs all year. He has given up three of those earned runs in the last two games. Mm. So we're going to flush. Let's see here, John. He had 18 appearances before the last two. We're going to flush 18 appearances where he gave up only three earned runs for the last two appearances where he has given up three earned runs. Nah, that math does not work for me, John. Now, if Vizcaino 2 days from now in the Thursday game against the Braves gets blowed up again and blows another save, it's a different conversation.
Right.
He deserves at least one more chance to close the game to me.
All right, Jahi, we've been waiting for this one. It's a debate that sparked the world.
Yes, and I was just privy to this debate about today, and I think it's clear cut. But everyone's been going over this Yanny and Laurel thing, so I want to play this.
And then we want to hear Rick's reaction. What do you hear? Just clear your mind, free your mind, and the rest will follow.
Laurel. Laurel.
Laurel.
Yeah.
Laurel.
It's clear as
all
day.
It's Laurel. Why are we even talking about, like, Yanny or whatever? It's Laurel. That's what he said.
Preacher Man heard Yanny.
Really?
Sean
not
heard Yanny.
On this version. Now, when we were sitting out having breakfast, you and I, you played this off your phone, and it clearly said Yanny. Dutch, who was in his office, heard Yanny, because John's going, oh, I hear Laurel. Dutch is in his office, goes, are you freaking crazy?
So
he comes out of his office.
So my wife yesterday.
Even Sean said when he first heard it, it was Yanny.
And then now all of a sudden they both hear Laurel. But my wife comes in yesterday and goes, listen to this. What do you hear? And I go, Laurel. She goes, how do you hear that? It's Yanny, our daughter. It's Yanny. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, what do you guys hear? There's nothing that says Yanny.
I don't understand. I mean, are we, am I not in a, do I need to be in a different soundproof room so I hear it differently?
No. I think there's different versions because this version is not the same version I heard out there.
I literally don't know. I'm not mad at anybody, but I literally don't know how you could confuse what I just heard for Yanny. I don't get that.
Yeah.
I heard Laurel like 110%.
Yeah, it was Laurel. Guys, text in 404-741-0929. Right. What'd you hear, Laurel or Yanny? We may even put up a Vision Computers Twitter poll or two. We got to do those before the show is over. All right, we take a break. Rick has got ideas where Dennis Schroeder is going to go. He'll blow mine out of the water, but I've got one as well because I know where I want Dennis to go if it's not going to be here in Atlanta. That's all next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and watch 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.